This is IBN, the Islamic Broadcasting Network. The following program is sponsored by the Islamic Media Foundation, sharing the guidance of Allah through broadcast media and the internet.
This is The Life of Muhammad with your host, Sheikh Anwar Al-Awlaqi, Imam of Dar al-Hijra Islamic Center.
Sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa hlul 'uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless this gathering. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to benefit us from what we learn. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to teach us that which will benefit us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those who will follow the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and love him. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those who will be with Him in Jannah. So now it is time to fill that void. So a prophet will come, and he's approaching, and his time is near. And he has unmistakable signs. And these are his signs. Number one, he will take refuge in a place that grows palm trees, and it is between two rocky tracks, volcanic rock. He doesn't eat sadaqah, charity, but he accepts gifts. And there is the seal of prophethood, a sign, between his shoulders on his back. Salman al-Farsi said, I was trying to find a way to reach to the land of the Arabs, it's far away. He said, until I met some merchants from the tribe of Kalb. I asked them to carry me with them, and I will pay them all of the money that I have, my cows and my sheep are yours. Just take me to the land of the Arabs. Allahu Akbar. Look at the sacrifice of Salman. I mean, he worked very hard to build up the small business and accumulate this wealth. And now he's willing to give it up just to be taken, to be transported to the land of the Nabi. The story of Salman al-Farsi is an amazing story of someone who is searching for al-haqiqah, for truth. They agreed, and they carried Salman al-Farsi with them. When they reached to Arabia, to a place called Wadi al-Qura, these merchants ended up betraying Salman al-Farsi, and they sold him as a slave to a Jewish man. Now, if you get stuck into slavery, that's it. You're stuck in there. And nobody will believe you when you say that you're a free man. So they claimed that he was a slave, and they ended up selling him. So now Salman al-Farsi was stuck in bondage. They sold him to this Jewish man. This Jewish man took him to Wadi al-Qura. Salman al-Farsi said, when I saw Wadi al-Qura, I thought this might be the place that was described to me. Because Wadi al-Qura has some palm trees. So he was fine to stay there. He said, then a cousin of my owner from Bani Qurayza, a Jew from Bani Qurayza, visited my master, and he purchased me. So now Salman was sold from this man in Wadi al-Qura, and he was sold to a Jew from Banu Qurayza. Where do Banu Qurayza live? In Medina. Salman al-Farsi said, I was carried from Wadi al-Qura to Medina, and he said, in the name of Allah, as soon as I saw Medina, I knew this was the place. This is it. Because Medina is very rich with palm groves, it has a lot of palm trees, and it is located between two rocky tracks, Al-Harra al-Sharqiyya wa Al-Harra al-Gharbiyya. These are two rocky tracks of volcanic rock, scorched, very dark. And by the way, this was the natural protection of Medina. In the battle of the trench, did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam make a trench all over Medina? No. He dug the trench on one side only. Because on two sides, Medina was protected by this rocky track. These are not mountains, these are very sharp rocks that are filling the plain. And this is volcanic rock, and it's very difficult for an army to move through it. So these are two natural barriers. And then from the south, Medina is protected by trees, palm trees. That's where all of the palm groves are. So Medina can be attacked from the north. That is the direction where the attack could be made from. And that is where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has dug the trench. Salman al-Farsi said, "I knew that this was it." Salman al-Farsi said, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent and he spent years in Mecca and I had no idea about it because I was busy in the toils of slavery. You know, a slave is busy with work and does not have an idea what's going on around him in the world. So Salman al-Farsi said, "I had no idea that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was already preaching the message."
We all face unique challenges in life, and through struggle we progress. But what makes the difference between those who succeed and those who fail? It is a clear conviction in the higher ideals and purpose of life. Have faith that works miracles.
This message is brought to you by your American Muslim neighbors and the Islamic Media Foundation.
Salman al-Farsi said, "One day, I was working on top of a palm tree, and my master was sitting under the palm tree. He said, one of his cousins came to him, and he was angry, you could see anger on his face, and he said, 'May God damn the children of Qayla.'" Children of Qayla is a name that was given to Al-Aws al-Khazraj. The Jews used to call Al-Aws al-Khazraj Banu Qayla. He said, "May God damn them. They have assembled in Quba in support of a man who came from Mecca who claims to be a prophet." Salman al-Farsi said, "When I heard that, a chill went down my spine and I started to tremble. And I was almost going to fall down from the palm tree and land on my master." Yani subhanAllah, Salman al-Farsi has been waiting for this moment for years. He has given up his life. He has left his family, left his homeland and came into foreign lands, different language, different culture, different people. I mean, in those days it wasn't easy to travel and go among people who are foreign. It's not like today, you can have interpreters and translators and access to people who would speak your language. In those days it was very difficult. So Salman al-Farsi had to leave Persia, and then he went to Asham, and then he went to Turkey and Iraq. And now he's in the land of the Arabs, which is a very secluded area. I mean, the land of the Arabs is surrounded by deserts. It doesn't have contact with the outside world. The Persians were away from it. The Romans were away from it. It was a very secluded land, very difficult, very harsh. And then Salman al-Farsi is living alone as a slave. You mean, imagine the feelings of homesickness that such a person would have. Sold as a slave, living in a foreign land, and now he has heard the news he has been waiting for years. He said, "I came running down the tree. And I went to the man and I was questioning him. I was asking him questions. He said, 'My master grabbed me and punched me in my face. and told me, it's none of your business, go back to work. Salman al-Farisi said, later on that evening, I prepared some food. And I traveled to Quba, because Quba is outside Medina. Quba is on the outskirts of Medina, and that's where Rasulullah ﷺ first arrived. And he built the Masjid of Quba. But it was considered to be, now it's pretty much in the district of Medina. But in those days, it was considered to be an independent village. Salman al-Farisi said, I took some food with me. And I went to visit Rasulullah ﷺ at night. He said, I came in. And I told Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I heard that you are a very good man and that you have companions who are strangers and needy. So I have brought you this food as charity. And I think that you are the one who deserves it most. And I handed it to him. He said, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam received the food from me. And then he told his companions to go ahead and eat, but he didn't join in with them.
Sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Ibn Umar, may God be pleased with them both, said, the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, said, O people, indeed you will die and you will go to God. May God have mercy on a servant who talked and earned goodness, or kept quiet and stayed safe. Indeed, the tongue controls the person more than anything else. Surely, all the human's talk is against him except the remembrance of God, or bidding good, or forbidding evil, or making peace between the believers is for him. Mu'adh, may God be pleased with him, said, O Messenger of God! Will we be judged by what we say? He, peace and blessings be upon him, said, Is there anything which throws people into hell except the harvest of their tongues? He who wants to be safe, he should control what his tongue says, and guard his heart, and do good deeds, and limit his hopes. A few days later, the following verse was revealed. There is no good in much of their secret conferences save in who enjoins almsgiving, or kindness, or peacemaking among the people. Whoso does that, seeking the good pleasure of God, we shall bestow on him a vast reward.
Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Sign number one. He does not eat charity. He does not eat from alms. He does not eat from charity. He said, I went back. And I said, now test one is done. I went back. He said, later on, I prepared some food and I went to Rasulullah ﷺ and he was already on his way to Medina. I said, I went up to him, I greeted him, and then I told him, last time I presented you with food and I told you that this is charity and you refused to eat from it. So I want to honor you with this gift. And he said, I handed the food to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam invited the companions to come in and eat, and he joined with them. Sign number two. He said, and then I went to him and visited him when he was in Baqi' al-Gharqad, cemetery of Medina. He was following a janazah. He said, I went up to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I greeted him, and then I went around him to see the sign on his back. Salman al-Farisi said, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sensed that I was trying to look for something that was described for me. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam uncovered his back. He threw off the cloak that was covering his shoulders. Salman al-Farisi said, and right there in front of my eyes was the seal of prophethood. Sign number three. Salman al-Farisi said, when I saw the seal of prophethood on his back, I fell down and I prostrated myself to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I made sujood to him. And I started kissing his feet and I was crying. And that was the moment that Salman al-Farisi has been waiting all of his life for. So he made sujood to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he was kissing his feet and weeping, crying. He said, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam immediately told me to stand up. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam does not accept sujood for him. So he told Salman to stand up. And then he told me, tell me your story. So I narrated my story to him. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told me, I want you to narrate this same story to my companions. I want you to tell them this story. A story of a man who was searching for truth all of his life. Salman al-Farsi said, and I narrated my story to them just like I am narrating it to you, Ibn Abbas. I was mentioning to them the same thing. Salman al-Farsi said, because I was a slave, I ended up missing the Battle of Badr and the Battle of Uhud. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told me one day, O Salman, free yourself from slavery, katib. Mukataba was a deal that was made by the slave and the master, that the slave would work for a certain time and generate a certain income and ransom themselves. So Salman al-Farsi went to his owner and said, I want to be free. So his owner told him, you have to plant for me 300 palm trees and they all have to survive. So at the end, I have to have 300 living palm trees and you pay me 40 ounces of gold. So he came to Rasulullah ﷺ and said, this is the huge amount of money that I have to pay to ransom myself. Rasulullah ﷺ said, don't worry. And then Rasulullah gathered the Sahaba and told them, help your brother.
If the way you dress expresses how you feel, and your dress speaks about you, then your dress not only makes a statement, but it is an important part of your identity. These are American Muslim women. Their dress reflects their faith and their belief in modesty. This message has been brought to you by your American Muslim neighbors.
This public service announcement is brought to you by the Islamic Media Foundation.
So Salman al-Farsi said some of them would bring 30 seedlings of a palm tree, some of them would bring 20, some 15. Everyone would bring as much as they can. Until I had 300 seedlings. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, when you collect the 300 seedlings, go and dig the holes for them, but do not plant them. Come and tell me first. So Salman al-Farsi gathered the 300 seedlings. He went and he dug the holes for them. And then he went to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, it's all ready. Salman al-Farsi said, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam by himself would go and carry the seedlings and plant them one by one with his own blessed hands. Salman al-Farsi said, none of those 300 palm trees died. They all grew. They all survived. Now the ratio of palm trees that end up growing is usually, you have a small ratio. Many of them die at that young age because of their fragility and the heat of the desert and the difficult weather. But Rasulullah ﷺ wanted to do it himself so that they would survive. So he planted them one by one and they all lived. So now Salman al-Farsi had to pay 40 ounces of gold and he had no clue where he's going to get that amount of money from. Later on one day, a small amount of gold was given to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Messenger of Allah said, where is the Persian man? Where is your Persian brother? Inna akhakum al-Farisi. So they went and called Salman al-Farisi. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, take this gold and free yourself with it. Salman al-Farisi said, oh Rasulullah, what would this do? When Salman saw the amount of gold, it appeared to be very small and it wouldn't be sufficient. Rasulullah ﷺ told him, take it and it will be enough. Salman al-Farsi said, I took it and it was weighed and it came out 40 ounces exactly. He said, and then I was free and I never missed anything with Rasulullah ﷺ after that. And the first battle he participated in was Al-Khandaq. And we all know his participation in it. He was the one who came up with the idea of the trench. So that is the story of Salman al-Farisi radiallahu anhu. A few notes on his story. Who is the first man Salman al-Farisi ended up studying with? He was the bishop in Syria. What did Salman al-Farisi say about him? He said, so I joined him, but he was an evil man, demanding alms from his people, and whatever they collected, he would store away for himself and not give to the poor. Eventually, he had gathered 7 jars of gold and silver. I hated him mightily for what I saw him doing. So here you have somebody who is in search of the truth. And he ends up meeting a person who has all the qualifications of turning him away, of making him give up. But the zeal that Salman al-Farsi had was stronger than that. Nowadays we say that sometimes our actions as Muslims is what causes the people to turn away from Islam. Well, that is true to a certain extent, but if somebody is sincere in their search of finding the truth, they should realize and understand that the truth is something and what the people are doing is something else. Salman al-Farsi did not reject Christianity because the man he met was such a corrupt person. He stuck with him and he remained, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewarded him for that later on. He ended up being with the best man that he has ever seen. And in the description of that man, what did he say? He said, then they brought another man to take his place, and I never saw a man who did not attend the 5 prayers who was better than he. What Salman al-Farsi means by a man who did not attend the 5 daily prayers is that this is the best man I have ever seen before meeting the Muslims, before the followers of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because they are the ones who pray 5 times a day. So he said, the best person I met, the most righteous and pious person I met before I met the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was this man. Allah rewarded him for his sabr and patience. And we learn 2 things from this. Number one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَالَّذِينَ اهْتَدَوْا زَادَهُمْ هُدًى وَآتَاهُمْ تَقْوَاهُمْ.
The ones who search for guidance, Allah will give it to them. But you have to look for it. You have to put in some effort. And when you do, the reward that you get is more than what you put in. If you walk towards Allah, Allah will run towards you. If you take 1 step towards Allah, Allah will take many steps towards you. But you have to take that first step. You have to take it. Salman al-Farsi was searching for it and he got it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ended up guiding him even though he belonged to a land that was hundreds of miles away. But he ended up receiving the truth because of his sincerity. Number two, we shouldn't be turned off or let down when we see somebody who's not doing the right thing. That is something that has nothing to do with the message itself. And Salman al-Farsi, he realized that and he remained with the man until he died, and then he ended up being with a better person. The second note is that there were remnants of true believers before the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But they were dying and they were not leaving anyone behind them. And that is why the world was thirsty for the message of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The third lesson to learn is that the Muslim community must be supportive of its new members. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam helped Salman al-Farsi free himself from slavery. And he requested the Sahaba to pitch in and participate. As Muslims living in the West, it would become a duty among us to take care of the needs of the newcomers to the religion. And many times these needs would be financial. And they need to be helped. And this is part of da'wah. Because da'wah is not that you throw out words which are free to give. It doesn't cost you anything. Da'wah is also that you have to be responsible for the people who will join in your ranks. And notice that many of the early Muslims were people who were in need. Bilal radiallahu anhu was freed by Abu Bakr. Many of the early Muslims were slaves that were in need of a lot of financial help because they were thrown away by their masters. Or you would have, for example, someone like Mus'ab bin Umair who came from a very wealthy family. But his mother refused to give him anything after he became Muslim. So these members are in need of support in their initial stages. And the risk is that if they don't get help in those critical stages, they could apostate. And there is a study that was done in America that found that quite a significant number of reverts end up leaving Islam. Quite a large number, I don't remember the exact figure, but a lot of them end up leaving Islam because of the difficulties that they face. First of all, they're stripped, many of them are stripped from their social belonging, their social life. Their families neglect them, their friends leave them. So they are in need of a social belonging. They have to have a new association. Number two, many of them come with some dire financial needs. And if they don't get them, you know, a human being is a human being. If the belly is going empty, like I mentioned in the hadith, بَادْرُ بِالْأَعْمَالِ سَبْعَ هَلْ تَنْتَظُرُونَ إِلَّا فَقْرًا مُنْسِيَا. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, do the good deeds before seven things could happen. And one of them is فَقْرًا مُنْسِيَا, poverty that will make you forget. If your stomach is empty, you'll forget everything. A person who is going around hungry cannot think about spirituality and learning ilm and knowledge. A person in that stage would want to feed their stomach. So these are things that are part of our program of da'wah. We have to have institutions that would satisfy and fulfill the needs of the new Muslim. And that is part of our duty as Muslims living in non-Muslim societies where there are people who are embracing Islam. صلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا
صلى الله على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم صلى الله على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم
This program has been sponsored by the Islamic Media Foundation, sharing the guidance of Allah through broadcast media and the internet.